everything you've already done. I thank you for the word of God that goes into every life and every heart. You said it'll accomplish where into it is set. So I pray today that your word will accomplish great things in the hearts and in the lives of every person that is here. I thank you for it. I pray blessing over it and over your people. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. If you have your Bible and you'd like to follow, it'll be up on the screen, but it's always great to follow. If you turn it to Psalm 23 this morning, I'm just excited to share with you as I was really contemplating what has happened in our world in the last couple weeks with the tragedies that have happened in this country a couple weeks ago, and then in the world, what happened in France, and then what happened in Turkey, another 84 people killed in France, which it's about an hour and 50 minutes north from where a group of us were last year on a missions trip. And, you know, while I was there, anybody that has never been to France thinks about just how beautiful a country it is. And the country itself is beautiful. But unfortunately, some of the infrastructure in the country is being incredibly damaged because of much of the culture there is being satiated with this. People don't like to say it. Get mad at me if you want, but it's the evil of Islam that wants to just tear anything that doesn't believe exactly as they do apart. And I'll never forget Chris and I, we were right down at the next to the water on the Mediterranean, beautiful, beautiful restaurants, shops. I mean, beautiful. You walk two streets into the city from there, it's the darkest, dirtiest that you can imagine. And we're out there and we're walking up and down and we're praying, we're wanting to pray for people. Some of the toughest place I've ever been to in my entire life. I've been to Africa 7 times. You know, Africa is tough, but at least the people there don't look at you like they want to kill you. And I think it was probably Chris's first time where he handed somebody a track and began to just talk to him. And they looked at it, they ripped it up, and they threw it back in his face. I mean, that will get your attention on any kind of day. After that, we went and got a shot of espresso. That helped everything. But 84 people killed in France, over 260 in Turkey. And we are living in a time that we need a shepherd that will lead and direct us. And I'm not talking about some particular political figure. We need someone. Our culture and our world is begging for the supernatural in leadership to come along. And that's really not going to happen in any one person. That's going to collectively happen with the people of God following after the great shepherd. Amen today? And when we think about Psalm 23, we think about this is a psalm that's just read at funerals, or many people don't even know it's in the Bible. They just think it's some kind of poetry or fairy tale. But I want you to know it's very true to you and I today, and we need a shepherd for hard times. The Bible says in John 10, verse 10 and 11, that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and give it to you in a more abundant way. And then he says in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. I love that. He is the good shepherd. He's not just any shepherd. He is a good shepherd. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, know that the Lord is good, he who has made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He is our shepherd today. In Psalm 23 verses 1 through 6, in the New King James, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Oh, amen. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God bless your word today. I love that, don't you? And there's so many attributes that describe what a shepherd is here, but I just want to take just a couple minutes and I just want to share a few of them with you. Number one, the shepherd, he is a provider. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That Hebrew word there means, "I shall not lack for any good thing." And you may have gone through some tough times, or maybe you're going through a difficult time right now. But at the end of the day, you must know that God will take care of anything and everything. And I've been in some hard times. I've been in some tough times where I didn't know, God, I don't even think you have the resources to bring me through. But can I tell you something from beyond the other side of that? That God has always come through, and he will come through for you. And there'll be times when maybe he'll allow you, he doesn't create it, but he will allow you to walk through a tough time in your life to help build you and shape you. But these times, he will also provide for you. He is our provider. He is our shepherd. He is Jehovah Jireh. And the beautiful scripture in Genesis 22 where that name is declared is when Abraham, and you know the story, God says, "I want you to take your son, your only son, to the land of Moriah and offer him on one of the mountains there." Abraham does what God asked him to do, and he takes his son, and he gets the wood, and he moves up to that place. He builds the altar. He takes his son and lays him on that altar, ready to obey God. And at that very moment, the angel of the Lord, and I've always been perplexed, I've always thought, how could God even put us in a position like that? I love the Lord with all of my heart, but I tell you, if I heard him tell me to do that, I would struggle. But at the moment that he was going to take his life, the angel of the Lord came and said, "Don't touch him. I know now that you fear God because you didn't even withhold your own son." And the reality of that, in our time, in the season that we live in, God wants your kids. He's not asking you to offer them on the altar, but he's asking you to give them to God and to provide that atmosphere where they can grow and they can learn the things that God has for them. And the Bible says that Abraham looked up and he saw a ram in the bushes. And he went over and he offered the ram instead of the son. And the Bible says in verse 14 that he called the name of that place, "The Lord provides," Jehovah Jireh. He will provide for you when everything else is gone. If it's not there, if it's not even available, God says, "I'll make it available because he is your good shepherd. He will provide for you. He'll make up when you're in a desperate place, when you feel like there's no way through, when you seem like and feel like help has eluded you. The good shepherd will come along and he will provide for you." Oh, come on today. You ought to be happy about that. And he reminds us that each day that we live, he's not only our shepherd, he's my shepherd. And I'm learning the older that I get, that I'm not getting all uptight about what I don't have and what I need at a particular time, because I know he said he's going to provide it. I know he said he's going to be there. I know he said he's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. He's going to make up the difference when I'm lacking and I don't have to worry about it anymore. Come on. Has he done that for you today? The second thing he's the shepherd that restores. People go through seasons in their lives where they're broken. People go through seasons in their life when things begin to fall apart. Maybe they made bad choices. Maybe they made difficult decisions. But God is a shepherd that restores us today. And as I was looking over this and I was praying over it even this morning, I felt like I would be talking to somebody in particular today, that you're in a place in your life where you need to be restored. And you know the beautiful thing that God does? He just doesn't help you enough to get through. And so many people, they just want enough help. If I could just get through this day and get in the other day, only to find out that the next day that you go in, you're in the same mess that you came out of the day before. And that's never the intention of God, is just to do a little in you to get you through today so you can make it tomorrow. God wants to restore your life and bring you all the way out of the mess so he can put you in his plan that he has created for you. Come on, you ought to be happy about that today. And so many people in life, no matter what it is, if I could just have this amount of money to get through today, well, what are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know, but all I need just today. In relationships, if I can just get the pain alleviated just for today, tomorrow will feel better. And it doesn't work that way. Can I tell you, husbands and wives today? And I talk to hundreds of people over time that they want to go so far, and then they just feel better for the moment, only to find themselves right back in the mess that they were hoping to be out of. Can I tell you, that's not the God that I serve. He is someone who wants to restore you today. He wants to bring you back even better than you were when you started. Oh, hallelujah for that. He doesn't just fix you. He restores you and brings you back to the original place that he has created for you to live in. Oh, I'm thankful for that. He brings you back to the place where only he can bring you. He restores my soul. He'll lift you up out of the noise in your life and take you to a place where he's going to help you. The Bible says he makes you lay down in green pastures. He restores your soul. Why does he make you? Because sometimes we're just too hard-headed to do it on our own. I'll talk to myself today. I'm just too hard-headed to do it on my own. Yeah, I knew I'd get some amens out of that. And sometimes we need somebody to help take us by the hand, which brings me to the next point, that the shepherd leads us. The Bible says he leads me beside still waters. Do you know that a sheep sometime will go so far, they'll go close to death before they will go and try to get a drink out of flowing and raging waters? They will let themselves get so depleted that until they find that place, and only the shepherd can bring you to that place. He'll not only cause you to lie down in green pastures, the Bible says he'll bring you beside still waters. He leads me right up to it. And the shepherd is the only one that can create an oasis for us to drink sustenance from, to drink and to help it build us back up to where we were supposed to be. And he leads us in that place. The Bible says he leads us in the paths of righteousness. Some of us need help sometime in God leading us in the right direction of our lives. We have a propensity to go down the wrong way when God says, no, come back this way. I want to lead you down this way, down the right path. He knows he helps you by giving wisdom and understanding. He'll bring the right people into your life at the right time. He'll speak through them and say, no, don't go that way. Go this way. He leads you in that way. And we need to submit our life to him so that we can have that. And when you're a part of it, you encounter the greatest blessing of your life. John chapter 10 and verse 3 says, the sheep hear my voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. His sheep follow him because they know his voice, because they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. But I want you to know today that God is speaking to you and he wants to lead you. The shepherd also, he supports us. I like this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm so thankful for that. When you come into that relationship, into that covenant with God, you can walk through some pretty dark times. You can be in some pretty difficult situations. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you're just going to die. Your life feels like it's slipping away. Can I tell you something? That God will come and he'll be the support in your life. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood at my side and he gave me strength. Some of you need that strength today in your life. You've been looking at all kinds of other things. You've been looking at other people. You've been trying to find out what's in a bag, in a bottle, and nothing will give you the strength like Jesus said he'll give you that strength.
He is a good shepherd to you today. He'll support you. You know why it's only a shadow of death? Because he has defeated death, hell, and the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? I shared this verse of scripture this past week that I did a funeral out of John chapter 11 and verse 25. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Jesus said unto them, I am the resurrection in the life. He who dies and believes in me shall live again. And he who lives and dies, he who lives shall never die. And then Jesus says, do you believe this? He has conquered death. He has faced down the worst tragedy that humanity could ever face. And he says, I have overcome that. And if you allow me to live inside of you, you can overcome that as well. You don't have to live in fear today. He'll lead you through. He'll guide you. He'll support you. He'll come alongside of you and he'll strengthen you. And the shepherd, he also defends. I love this part. I almost brought my Maasai club with me today. When I go to Kenya, I bought these Maasai clubs. I've given every one of my sons one of them. It's a long piece of wood with a big knob on the end that the Maasai, when you see them, they'll always carry that and a knife. And the true Maasai warrior, he not only defends his people and the cattle that he has, he may have a rich Maasai, might have 3 or 4 cows. He is a wealthy man. The last thing he is going to let is any predator come in and take those, even a lion. And a true Maasai warrior, when he wants to become the man, he has to himself go out, hunt down a lion, and kill it with that Maasai club. And this is what Jesus does. He defends you and I. He said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff is not to beat you up and to beat you down when you fail. Are you listening to me today? The rod and the staff is not to beat you up and beat you down when you fail. It's to beat off. The rod is there to stand against the enemy, the foe that would try to come against you and your life and whisper to you, you're no good, you're a failure, you messed up one too many times. And the Bible says that the Lord will stand at attention and he'll fight that lie off in your life. He'll fight the devil off of your life. He'll fight the devil that tries to come in and destroy your home, your marriage, your children. He will stand at the door of your life and he'll fight if you let the shepherd come in. He is a good God. And he will take the staff and he will help guide you in the way that you should go. John 10:11, the good shepherd, he lays down his life for his sheep. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Because whatever the enemy tries to use to derail us, God said, I'm going to use it to promote you. The mess that you may be in today is just a stepping stone to the victory he will take you to tomorrow. Praise God for that. While you are resting, when you are eating, you are being covered. You are being defended. No evil shall come nigh your dwelling. Your enemy may come against you in one way. The Bible says he'll have to go in 7 different ways. He'll stand and he'll defend you. He will fight on your behalf. He'll stand and guard you. If you'll give him your family, give him your children, give him your spouse, he'll fight the enemy that tries to come in and destroy your life. If you've got a business and it's going downhill, give it to God and he'll stand. He'll fight for you. I've had God fight for me. I've had him stand up in the middle of hard times in my life. I've watched as the enemy tried to come in and destroy my home and my family and my children, and I couldn't do it in my own strength, but I called upon the good shepherd and he stood in my stead and he defended my home. He defended my life. He helped me when all else was gone. He will be your defender today. Come on, if you're going to clap, don't mess around on that. And then when he defends you, he anoints your head and your cup runs over. Oh, thank God for that. I don't know if you know what that is, but I'm going to tell you something. That when God touches you and he begins to pour his anointing on you, there will be a blessing that will run everywhere. Then the shepherd, he blesses your life. I like this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You watch me walk around, I got two walking right behind me. I got Shirley on this side and goodness on that side. They're just walking around following me, ready to bless me wherever I go. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That means they're going to chase you down. They're going to pursue you. You can't get away from the blessing of God when you trust God as your shepherd today. I love that. His blessings, the Bible says, they are going to not just come to you. They're going to overtake you. My goodness, I've been in times, I've been in situations, I didn't even know a blessing was coming my way. And all of a sudden, it just came my way, and it just wrapped its arms around me. Unknowingly, unplanned, it began to bless my life. And that's what He'll do for you as well. Come on, does anybody want that blessing in their life today? And then lastly, he says, David says, after all of this happens to me, he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He knew, and you and I must know as well, that God's house is where things take place. What you heard from these two couples today, you heard the testimony. We could have taken this service and 20 other services and had people with testimonies talk about the blessing that this couple has been. And if I did that with all of you, we'd be here till Jesus came. And 90% of those blessings stem from the house of the Lord. Amen. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's where our relationships grow. It's where the love for God and one another grows. It's where you hear the word of the Lord. It's where you get in the presence of God during worship. Something happens in your life. It changes you. It begins to mold you. You can be fighting with your family on the way to church, and you could be on the way home loving them because of the house of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Close your eyes. Bow your head with me today. Lord, we give you thanks. You're our good shepherd. Prayer people, can you just come down to the altar? Hallelujah. You're our good shepherd, God. You're a good, good Father. You're a great shepherd that helps us and is there to support us and give us peace in the midst of a trying season in our world, God. We come to you, Lord, not as just any other normal time, but God, we come to you today because we need you. We have a great need for you today, God. Hallelujah. Your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed. If you've never given your life to Christ, you need to do that today. I said this in the first service. I could have come in today. I could have started speaking about the end times. We're seeing it all around us. We're seeing signs pointed in that way. And maybe in the next few weeks I will at one of the services. But the Bible says there is a time when Jesus is going to come. He said, when you see what's happening, what we're seeing right now, wars, rumors of wars, men being lovers of themselves, haters. They love themselves and they hate everybody else. When you see these things happening, the Bible says these are birth pains. These are things that are creating God to step up over the balcony of heaven and look down and saying, it's almost time. The Bible says that when Jesus comes, he's going to catch those away that know him and love him. The Bible says we who are alive and remain, we will be caught up together with him in the clouds. That's where we get the word, the phrase rapture from. We'll be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But that's not for everyone. That's for the people that name the name of Jesus. Those who name the name of Allah will not be caught up at that time. You must name the name of Jesus. There's no other name, the Bible says, given upon earth whereby man must be saved. The Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Every knee. No other name given whereby men must be saved. And if you've never done that today, you need to do that. This is your day today. And all that stuff can be happening around us. We can depend on a good shepherd today. He's there to love us and help us. Maybe you're going through a downtime today in your life. Maybe struggles. Maybe you feel like you want to die. Maybe things are blown up a little bit in your life, in your home. God wants to be that help to you today. I just want to pray for you. Then I'm going to close. And if you need one of these folks that are down at the front here just to agree with you today, before you leave, I just want you to come down. Let them pray personally over you. Today, just open up your hands. Say, Lord Jesus, God, I come to you today. I ask you to work every issue, every challenge in and through my life out today, I pray. Be glorified in my life, I pray. I give you my life today, God, I pray. My family, my children. I felt, just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Just one more moment. I felt today when I was speaking that there's some parents here, there's children that just, there's challenges that are there. The Lord, He wants to defend your children for you. He wants to be that defender. He'll stand in that place. Today you may need just somebody to agree and pray with you on that. God, I just thank you for everyone that's here. I pray your blessing over them, over the church, over the work of the Lord here on Main Street and on Liberty Street today. I give you thanks for what you're doing in every home, every household here. Be glorified in our lives, I pray today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Chuck and Linda and Chuck and Cheryl, I want you to go to the back. You can leave your stuff right there. Nobody will take your flowers. They'll step on them. And I want you, as you leave today, to make sure that you shake their hands, hug them, bless them. Then if you need prayer for anything before you leave, I want you to come down here today. These folks love you. I do too. I love you so much. I thank God for you. You're beautiful people, and I'm so grateful for you. Go in God's grace today. He loves you. He wants to be your shepherd. God bless you.